Welcome to The Right Chamber,
the podcast where we dive deep into the fascinating world of medicine and healthcare.
In every episode, we will talk about pivotal topics relating to medicine and surgery in the UK and what it's like to be a healthcare professional today. We are inviting doctors and other healthcare professionals across different specialties to discuss their experiences and give an insight into what their journey has been like. Please follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS and subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media. So sit back, ignore the traffic, and enjoy the Right Chamber podcast. Dr. Tamar Saeed began his NHS career as an FY2 doctor, training in endocrinology, diabetes, and internal medicine at Oxford. He joined Russellsworth Hospital in 2020 as a consultant and is the service head for general medicine. He holds key roles in operational management, workforce planning, and education, and is an associate professor at the University of Birmingham. He also leads locally employed doctors at the Dudley Group. Dr. Sumaira Malik is an internationally trained medical graduate and a locally employed doctor. She has worked as an SHO in internal medicine for the past 10 months. She leads the Buddy program and serves as a well-being representative for locally employed doctors. Originally from Pakistan, she has experience as an SHO and clinical research associate in international clinical trials.
Welcome back to the Right Chamber podcast. I'm Jaspreet and...
I am Victor.
And today we have...
I'm Dr. Tamar Saeed.
Okay.
And I'm Sumaira Malik.
Brilliant. Lovely to meet you both. So today we have got a lovely podcast lineup for you on the topic of locally employed doctors. Before we dig into the meat of everything, shall we get to know you a little bit better? So if we start with you, Dr. Saeed, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, thank you very much. So I started my NHS career in as an FY2 doctor and completed my training in endocrinology, diabetes, and internal medicine. And started in Russellsworth Hospital as a consultant in endocrinology, diabetes, and acute internal medicine in year 2020, just before the start of the COVID. I have been on several and key leadership roles in this organization. I have a very strong interest in education and academia. And along with that, I have got involved in taking up some roles in operational management as well. So if I talk generally about my role in education, which was my first leadership role as a consultant, I have been a foundation training program director in the organization, which has given me an insight of how to help our newly graduated doctors, support them and train them. Because these are the doctors who would be the future consultants in NHS. Absolutely. And the NHS is in their hands. So we really need to start from the beginning, from the start of their career. How can we support them, train them, and groom them to be balanced clinicians in the future? So my first role as a leadership role was a foundation TPD in the organization. And I also have been the co-lead for the recruitment workforce and rota in Department of Acute Medicine, which slowly and gradually then got expanded to general medicine and to the medical division as well. So we've been leading the acute medicine rota and the workforce, which has made significant impact on the work-life balance of the doctors. We have made some several changes in the rota. And after that, in my other role in the operational management was as a head of service for general medicine. I have been the medical service head for the last 3 years, almost 3 years now, in general medicine. Made some changes with the support of my colleagues. We work together as a team. In education as well, I have I'm the specialty tutor for acute medicine, and I'm also the associate professor with the University of Birmingham. Along with that, we have been doing some other work as well in the organization and the new role, which responsibility which we have taken recently is the lead for the local employed doctor as well, which is a challenge again.
We will dig into that.
We'll get to that. What about you, Samira? What do you do?
I'm one of the local employed doctors here. Started my career in NHS 10 months ago. So I'm working here in internal medicine. Before that, back home, I was working as clinical research associate and SHO for about 2 years. Graduated in 2020 from one of the military colleges in back home, Pakistan. So yeah. And I'm also working under the guidance of Dr. Tamar with this local employed doctor program, which I think we'll be talking about.
Yeah.
So what gave you the idea of creating this locally employed doctor program?
So, I mean, we'll go back a little bit in the history of how things has been working. In the NHS organizations, we have usually two different types of categories among the doctors. In general, I'm talking about. I mean, we can dig into the specifics of it, but I think in general, we have got the doctors who are recruited and employed by the deanery, which is now called as NHS England, NHSE. So then they are sent to different organizations where they have, the organization have got some responsibilities towards them, to train them, to guide them, to ensure that they have got structured education programs, to ensure that these doctors have got the named supervisors, to ensure that these doctors are getting the required training as per the guidance and as per the curriculum, which is lined by the NHS England and the Royal Colleges of the United Kingdom. And of course, by the schools in the deanery. So these doctors come on different rotations. The deanery doctors rotate through different rotations as per planned by the deanery. But then there's another group of doctors who are locally employed by the organizations themselves. And they are the doctors which are called locally employed doctors. So traditionally, and in many NHS organizations, when we look at them, the locally employed doctors are employed locally mainly in traditionally in the past was to fill the gaps in the rota, to ensure that they provide services where the services are lacking. And the other name was previously used called a service provision was this mainly the main job for them. And the Royal College of Physicians published some guidance last year in August, specifically about the locally employed doctors. Because the locally employed doctors are not like the doctors who come from the deanery, who have got very structured education program and everything is quite structured for them. There isn't any structure in that. And I think when we looked at that guidance came from the Royal College of Physicians last year, I think we need to do something. And Royal College really encourages now that we need to train them, guide them, supervise them, and ensure that the previous traditional name as a non-training doctor is not used anymore. Because the RCP now says that they are also doctors in training, but in a different category, in a different name. Because if I look at it, we're all in training.
Yeah. We
are learning something new. And if we are learning, we have got supervision, we are learning, we work under supervision, so we're all training. And I think that's where this idea came, that I think we need to do something to improve the quality of training because you need to invest on them. And these are the people who will be looking after your patients. And this will have a direct impact on the quality of care they provide to the patients. So why not set up some structured training programs for them to ensure they get most of the benefits of what the other category of doctors are getting as well, so that we create an environment where education, training, and harmony flourish.
So how long has this been going on for the program? When was it started?
So we basically, originally, after the Royal College of Physicians published this guidance, we sat down with our senior educators, with our DME, with our college tutors, with our educators across the organizations. And we came up with the plan that I think now there's a lot of emphasis in the NHSC as well about the locally employed doctors, we need to do something about it. And that idea started from that, from last year in August. When we thought, It's quite recent. And then we thought, let's do something about it. And how can we implement that starting from our organization? And I must say that our organization, the Dudley Group, is one of the few organizations across the country who have started this program.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's not very...
Yeah, so it's not even widely kind of available yet. It's quite new here. Just to clarify a little bit, so your typical kind of trust grade job, would that fall under the category of this, or is it still a separate...
Yeah, so the trust grade job, basically, it does fall under the category of locally employed doctor, okay, because they are employed locally by the organization.
I see. And so since implementing this role, what are the kind of challenges or obstacles that you've had to go through to make this the best it could be for?
I think in every role, whenever you take up a role, and anybody takes up, there are challenges, and I think you do overcome the challenges. But the key points is good communication between the teams, team working skills. That's quite important, and the support. I think I feel lucky myself that I had a lot of support from my colleagues, from my higher-ups, from our DME, from our chief of medicine, and of course from our CMO as well, that we really need to work on this. And the challenges were mainly, there are a few things which we have started. Like, let's suppose if I just take a step back and say that, what are the challenges first the locally employed doctors face?
Mm.
Because that's where we need to work on, basically, the challenges they face, and then how to improve and how to address those challenges.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we start. So traditionally, what I say is that with the locally employed doctors, there wasn't a structured education training program for them. There wasn't a structured curriculum where we can start working on. And I think there are general teaching programs going on in departmental levels in different departments, which is quite good actually, but which is open to everybody. Like, this is, they're addressing the training needs of registrars, the deanery doctors, GP trainees, foundation doctors, IMTs, higher specialist trainees, and the locally employed doctors as well. But additionally, if you look at it, we have got specific teaching days or protected teaching timings for the foundation doctors, for IMT doctors, for the GP trainees as well. So similarly, let's start with setting up a separate teaching targeting specifically the locally employed doctor. So that's what we started. We've got a good team. Fumana has been one of our pioneer LED leaders, and she pioneer LED in this program. And with the help of other LED doctors as well, the support from our educators and from our management, we've started a structured teaching program for them. We have once a week structured protected teaching. And I think it was supported a lot by our consultant colleagues, which I'm very thankful to, that we have got that once a week. Additionally, now the other challenge which we had with the locally employed doctors would feel is that a lot of them, if you look at it, because they were traditionally called, and they were non-training grade jobs. So there was almost negligible interest from the local doctors in the United Kingdom to apply for these jobs. And a lot of the doctors, when they got employed, were coming from abroad. And the first thing they face is the challenge is new culture, new country, new hospital, new health system.
Mm.
So medicine in itself is the same all over the world.
Yeah.
Medicine doesn't change. But the way it is practiced, it varies from culture to culture, from country to country, and from different systems. Even in the UK, when you come, might be practiced a little bit different down south than Midlands, than up north. So I think that was the challenge as well. So what we started is basically, and the thing we just started, is a buddy program for them.
I wonder if Samira, how's your experience been entering, you know, into a new culture, a new system? How have you found kind of adjusting to the system? And then have you experienced this? Well, tell us about the buddy system put in place and how that's helped.
So, yeah, I'm looking after this buddy program. I can start with my experience first and then I can tell about the buddy program.
Yeah.
So when I joined, I think this was not implemented at that time.
Okay.
It was implemented right after I came. So I did felt welcome in the trust, but I did feel something is missing in a sense that I didn't, when I like got the offer, I was a bit confused at how things will work, how I'm going to find the like trust and further certain other things like accommodation and those stuff. The consultants, the colleagues were really supportive, but there were a few things that I think I was lacking on. So, yeah. And after that, this all project came in. And then I took over this buddy program along with like other colleagues. So how does this buddy program works is like whenever a new doctor has been employed, like they are back home, when they're employed, they're being assigned a buddy. And that buddy is going to answer all their questions, is going to support them. And right from the start, they are in the country till they reach here.
Wow.
So yes. And I think it went really well in a sense that we did a quality improvement program recently on this. So the first cycle were us without the buddies.
Mm.
And the second were like recently.
You can really see the change. Yeah.
So. So the change was really good. Like if I talk in the terms of starts, so about 65% were assigned buddy and 90 to 95% of those felt confident in approaching the buddy, felt welcome in the trust and felt like being home or like that. And so it went really well for up till now.
Wow.
I think it's like it's good in the sense that before they come to this country, they already know. And they already have someone that they already know about. Like they have a friend.
Yeah.
Let's just say they have a friend to like look forward to.
I think the idea was if you look at it, your first day you walk into the hospital, you don't know where to go.
Exactly.
You don't know anyone. You don't know where to go.
So we all felt the same. So when this buddy program came in, we actually could feel how they were and how we were. So yeah, that's one of the aspects of this LED program.
So what are other aspects did you find that were like different? So when you came here as a non-training doctor, what differences did you find between yourself and the trainee doctors?
Okay, so if I talk in that sense, when I joined, it took me time getting to know about the system, getting to know about the differences, like back home in here. It took me time to find out about portfolio, to find about research, teaching, and all those things.
I assume because like when trainee doctors are join a new trust, they have inductions.
Exactly.
But I feel like non-training doctors, they're just like, well, you're employed now, here you go.
Exactly.
That's it.
So that's what I said, that it felt like something is missing. And when this program was initiated, I think Dr. Saeed and everyone make sure that all things were coming step by step, starting with buddy program, then the induction, portfolio, and like...
Teaching.
That's why.
Teaching.
Wow. Teaching, yeah. Well-being.
Wow.
Because I do think that if you don't have this program, a non-training doctor from another country would not know where to go and they
exactly.
would just stay stagnant. Because they're not building up their
if
portfolio.
If the support isn't there, a lot of the responsibility would then be on you to seek out opportunities, which would be difficult, even if you don't know who to approach. So that brings me up to another question. Are there like people in charge of these different implementations? Are
there like
representatives or anything like that? Or do you know who to talk to or to seek out?
So basically now as we started from a teaching, structured teaching, we have got now introduced this buddy program for them. We have a quality improvement project and research representative as well. We have got our well-being representative as well. We have got our portfolio representative as well. And we have an LED program induction champions as well.
Wow.
So this is these different processes which we have started. We have now appointed representative from among the locally employed doctors so that we empower them, train them up train them as leaders in future. And this is just a beginning for them. So now we have, and when we train the representative as well. So now every locally employed doctors in the division of medicine, they have got a portfolio, they have had an induction in a timely manner. The new ones, the previous one they come, they didn't have the buddies, but the new ones, when they joined, they had a buddy when they started initially. We have well-being champion as well, and Dr. Richard Delaney is our well-being lead across the organization. He's quite supportive in that, and the rep get them in touch with Dr. Elaine as well, who meet them individually, because well-being is one of the major aspects that needs to be addressed as well. So there's a lot of support in organizations about that as well. So we have got identified different representatives, and all the LEDs across the division, they are aware of them. And we have our monthly meeting among the representative, with myself and with the reps, to get an update on what's happening in this each domain and each area, and to ensure how can we do better in these areas. And with this buddy program, one more thing which I would just like to mention is that although every LED is assigned a supervisor to support them, but equally a trainee or a doctor or a resident doctor sometimes find it very reluctant to ask each and everything a supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where to find a bus? Where's the nearby station?
Mm.
How to go to
the building? This is too mundane
Where to find the local food? Yeah. So all these, I think for a buddy, you can just pick a phone call and say, what's happening?
Oh, where should I go?
But for this, you can't ask this from a consultant. So I think that also helps them as support.
Our buddies, they tend to be more kind of similar grades? Or,
yeah. So that they feel more supportive. And the thing is, they feel more easy to approach them.
Mm. Okay.
And the other question you ask, how do people get to know about these stuff? So once they join the trust, within few weeks, the plan is they get an induction. And in induction, they get to know about everything. That there is portfolio, there's a portfolio representative about well-being, about teaching. So in that day, they actually get to know about everything. Whom to approach, their emails, their contact. So things get a bit in line.
So all the LEDs have a supervisor, yes? So do they have regular meetings with their supervisor to see that they're on track with their portfolio to, say, get into a national training number or, move on with their portfolio? Or is it the once yearly appraisal where you're just I didn't do anything?
I think that's how it was before. And I think things are changing. Now the LEDs are more empowered and more feel that they need to get these things done to progress in their career in NHS. So everybody has got a supervisor. Every doctor, every LED in the division of medicine is allocated a supervisor. And they are, at the induction, they're also taught that you need to have these regular meetings. And not only that, we have set up a curriculum and some guidance for them as well, that you need to follow that. That's what you need to achieve at the end of a year. What do you want to do next? And you have got this like we have in the trainees.
Yeah, a personal development plan.
We have our PDP. So, similarly, we guide them through them as well. So, yes, they have that. And the other thing, important thing, is induction. Because when a doctor comes from a deanery, a lot of the time we know that they have twice a year, either August or February starters. Yeah. They have the main timings when the doctors come from NHSC. But the issue and the challenge with the LEDs is that they have a staggered start throughout the year. Yeah. And then how to have timely induction? It was one of the biggest challenges.
Then they have to wait until the next.
Which we faced. Now, with the support from our media team and with the support from my colleagues as well, what we have now, we have digitalized our induction. So we have got induction talk. A presentation for about 40-45 minutes, which has been recorded. It's incorporated into an app. We have put a lot of the induction material in an app as well, and it's all electronic. Anybody can we have put some different barcodes across the organization. Anybody can just scan it, that barcode, open the induction,
very accessible,
and listen to it. Anybody can access it. But equally, not only that, we had made it so easy for them that they can do it at their home time and anytime in their free time, they can look at it. But equally, we have got now what we started with the help of our induction champions. We do every 2 monthly an induction.
Wow.
So every
it's
2 months.
More regular.
Yeah. To have it more regular so that if anybody missed the first one, they can have the face-to-face induction, the whole day, 1 day induction as well in the medical division, which we do now August. We do it October, then December, then we do it in February. then April, June, and then August. The big inductions are mainly the August one and the February one because we have the NHSC trainees start as well. So that will just make quite bigger induction. But we have this 2 monthly induction going on since we started this program so far successfully. And I think people are feeling quite well supported in that.
Because I feel like in my experience, and we've had non-training doctors, and they started at this random month, random day in the middle of the month. They are usually just given to a doctor who's already been working, and they're like, yeah, follow him around, follow him or her around for like a week or two, and then that's it, like nothing else. And, you know, the doctor's obviously trying to do their jobs, and it's just like,
yeah,
I can't tell you much, but
yeah.
So I could see the real benefits of having, you know, an accessible app. You can watch the, you know, video guidance, see where you need to go, know who your contacts are, and you can do it at your own leisure time as well, which is very important because you don't know when you'll be available to have that time.
And not only that, in that app, we have put some important links as well to the guidance towards the DVLA guidances. We've put some links about different portfolios like NHS portfolios, AGRCP TB portfolio, 14 fish for the GP trainees. We have got the Horus portfolio for the foundation doctors as well. So we have put some different links in that app as well. So it's I'm not saying that we are perfect. There is a room for improvement. Mm. We're still working
but
on
you
it.
Start
we are
from somewhere, isn't
you
it?
You started it.
And yeah, I think the important thing is that you're actively looking and reflecting on this is where we were, this is where we are now. Then again, reflect about this is where we are. Let's make another target to where we would like to be. And I think you mentioned a very important thing about starting from the root of the LED doctors themselves. You know, what is your experience like? Where do you think we can make an improvement? And then working from there, rather than just posing different things, really working from the people at the front end.
And that's
it.
Where those monthly meetings came in, where we discuss everything. Our action plans, what needs to be done, what we have done so far, where we are lacking, where we need to improve everything. Yeah,
it's a really important like program so that the LEDs are not just rota fillers.
Yeah, yes. I think we need to change the narrative now, isn't it? It's no longer non-training role because clearly there's lots of things that are being put in place and you are building your portfolio, you are growing professionally and not just there providing service, but actually you have... you know, you're increasing in your own professional
and
development.
And I think this would
also
attract people who have finished their foundation years and, you know, they would want to just, rather than be a non-training doctor who can't, you know, build their portfolio, become a LED and, you know, you'll be supported.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the most important things, which I would really like to highlight here now, is that what I think answer to one of your questions before is that about, not only about the meetings with their supervisors, but assessments. Now, what we have started is, of course, we are just in the beginning stages of it and we need to fully establish that. But with the support of my other colleagues who are now, we have started our local ARCP process.
Wow.
So that's quite important. I think that's very important for everybody to know is that traditionally we would step up a doctor from SHO grade to a registrar grade with recommendation. A couple of people will sit down. I mean, senior people, consultants will sit down. We will just go through their portfolios. I think this guy is doing well and get some feedback from the colleagues. And we said, okay, that's fine. I think we're happy to support this doctor. We can step this doctor to a registrar level with some shadowing / integration period for 4 weeks. And then they should be able to work as a registrar. But now it wasn't a formal structured process. We were all in the beginning for that. But now what we have given a structure to this process. So we have senior educators, the college tutor, Dr. Pandit, our deputy DME, Dr. Siddiq, Dr. Nandi, he's our MSH for acute medicine, myself. We sit down, we review the portfolios of the doctors who we think we receive a recommendation from the supervisors to step them up as a registrars. So we have a day ARCP. I mean, four of us, we sit down. We give them slots to come, sit in front of the panel. We go through their portfolio. We look at their MCR from a consultant's report. We look at their CAPS report from their
colleagues.
Colleagues. We look at their ES report, who should have recommended in the report that I'm happy for this doctor to step up to registrar. Excuse me. And we look at some, we've set up some guidance as well for them, like number of workplace-based assessments being done. So it's a formal process is done. And then the panel agrees that a thing, we are happy for this doctor to step up.
Yeah.
So now there's a formal AR, local ARCP process for them to go through them, and then we recommend them. So now we can say that confidently that any registrar who is on a registrar rota has been through a formal process. To reach to where they are now. That's one thing.
Yeah.
The other thing, which coming back to the questions that for our foundation doctors, who if they are not able to, if they think that, well, okay, the traditional non-training job, we need to go into this LED or trust grade job. I think it's quite important for everyone to know is that now we rotate the doctors as well. The rotations are similar to, we copy the IMT rotations, 4 monthly. And one of the few important rotations which we have included now in this rotation program is critical care and care of elderly. And then if the doctor is not able to get into an IMT program or anything, but they have done these rotation, they have maintained their portfolio, they sit down in front of the ARCP panel, and they, if they achieve all the competencies, there is a way for them to apply for higher specialist training if they have passed the MRCP. They have
additional done, routes.
And then the tutors agree on signing them off at IMT equal, and then they can apply for a higher specialist training. So the years which they have spent with us, it's not wasted. They have counted like equivalent to IMT. So I think this is something very important that that will make the Dudley Group one of the most attractive places to come and work with with us.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially with like training numbers.
Yeah.
You know, they're not very high at the moment.
Difficulties, yeah.
Or just difficulty getting into it. This would be good for like anyone who's finished foundation program and they don't want to waste time.
Yeah.
This hospital would be a good place to start.
Often you know that you I think that's kind of like a good summary of the whole thing, isn't it? You're not only providing service, but you're being served as well.
Absolutely.
And think that's just an amazing thing. So there's always growth happening.
Yeah.
So brilliant. I think we've covered
come to the end of our podcast.
Covered quite a lot. Are there any final thoughts that you would like to give? I think we've been quite thorough, and I think a lot of our resident doctors, both those in-house and those around and external as well, will really find benefits from this conversation.
Definitely.
I think, you know, being that it's so new, even just learning about it and knowing what the role is about,
I think
is
it
important.
Gives a little bit of hope to, you know, people who find that they are not progressing non-training jobs.
Definitely. And I think the message is that we at Dudley Group, we are trying our best to make the environment over here more training friendly and more supportive. And I think I would like everybody to come and look at us, what we do here. And where we are right now, it's a teamwork. It's with the support of our colleagues, our locally employed doctors, their representatives, my colleagues, our seniors. And it's all, we started this as a teamwork. And I think we have still a long way to go. We are not there where we really want to, but I think just even the start looks quite beautiful and quite nice here.
And it's optimistic it's about steady progress, isn't it?
Of course.
I think we have achieved a lot in these 8-10 months. I know there's a lot to go, but there's always room for improvement.
Absolutely.
So we are working on that.
Absolutely. And if we're constantly striving for improvement, that's where we want to be, because we know there's continual development on every aspect.
Thank you so much for coming on our show, and I hope our listeners will benefit from this.
I'm sure they will.
They definitely will.
Thank you once again.
Thank you.
I think we can wrap up the podcast there. Thank you so much for everyone that's been listening from wherever you are, whether you're at home or you're listening or you're watching the videos. Thank you so much. You make the podcast what it is. And just as a reminder, if you would like to take part in any future episode of the podcast, definitely feel free to contact us on any of our media platforms, and we will surely try our best to get back to you. Alrighty, have a lovely one, and till the next podcast.
See you.
Remember to stay connected with us on social media. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media, for more exclusive content and updates. Thanks for tuning in to the Right Chamber podcast. Until next time.